Pastor said it's if I get done a little early, we'll just go home. Everybody's strained and stressed out. I mean, it's the truth. But you know what? For me, here's what is most for me. We're going through some problems. Me and my family we're going through some hard times. But that's not what's the most taxing on me, Pastor. What I've come to realize the most taxing on me is my spiritual walk. That's what's wearing me out. That's what's wearing me out, trying to keep the faith, keep my family together, and keep right with the Lord through all the mess that we're going through. That struggle is what's wearing me out, is that spiritual walk. That walk trying to stay close to God through everything that we're going through, trying to hold that family together. Hey, it don't look like much. There's only four of us. All right, well, you go ahead and try to hold it together.
Yeah,
we want you to do it. You won't say it. I'm just telling you, man. It's a whole different ballgame when doing that thing. And it's taxing. It's taxing on my wife. It's taxing on my kids. And, she's trying to hold herself together spiritually. We're trying to hold the kids in that realm, trying to keep them in there, trying to keep them fed, and go through all that, plus all the worries and concerns and everything else that you have. It can wear you pretty thin. Adam asked me, hey, how you doing on the way here? I said, I've been worse, and I've been better. I just kind of explained to him that I've been worse because I was out there one day. I was a drug addict, alcoholic, womanizer, whoremonger, everything else you can think of. That's what I was in. So in that sense, I'm doing a lot better. But in the sense that I'm living for the good life now, that I'm living for Jesus now, I'm still stressed out. I'm still having a hard time. I've been better. I've been better. But I thank God that and I told my Sunday school class this, I'm not suffering for Christ right now. Right now I'm suffering for my own stupidity and the things that I've done. Yeah. What me and my family are going through is because Dale Moore is sinned against God. Matter of fact, I prayed that back to God this morning in Psalm 51.
Amen.
I prayed that to him this morning. I prayed his word to him. I prayed back to him 1 John 1:9. I said, this is your word, Lord. I understand what I did. Now I fully see it. I take responsibility for it. Now let's get this thing right. For the first time since I've been saved, for the first time last week, I told my Sunday school class, I usually tell people, don't pray to get out of this thing. Pray to go through it. For the first time in my life, last week, I said, Lord, can you get me out of this? And then I realized my mistake. I said, never mind, just leave me in it. I'm already going through it. Let's just get it done. Keep me in it, but just get me through it. I really, for the first time since I've been saved, that I really wanted God to get me out of something. But I realized that'd be a big mistake. I just need to stay in this thing and just go ahead and just set the course and go. And so that's why I'm beat up that way. I'm tired that way. I'm wore out. I mean, I could go home and I could sleep for probably 10 hours. Ask my wife and kids. I'll be sitting there. I'm out, man. I'm just in the chair sleeping. Snore wore out, you know. But anyway, God is good. He'll get us through it. Pastor was talking about Sam Jones when he got saved, that the whole town was ecstatic. They were happy. They couldn't believe it. It was something to be excited about. Let somebody say, oh, I got saved. People are like, oh, you got saved. Okay. Another one professing salvation. That's what they think in their head. There's another one professing salvation. Nobody's happy. Nobody's sad. And then guess what? 6 to 8 months down the road, that person's living like hell again. And guess what? They go, told you. Uh-huh. Nobody gets excited over salvation anymore. Nobody gets it because nobody believed it, because everybody professed it. Everybody has professed it and nothing's been done in their life. Everybody. How many times have you in this room alone heard people profess salvation and then 6, 8 months after that look at them and go, that's salvation? No wonder why people don't get excited over it anymore. Man, back in the days when people got saved, they got saved. People knew it. Life's changed. Things that now Sam Jones, I'm sitting there in my head and I'm thinking, man, he's got people following around, writing his sermons and putting them in papers and all that. Man, somebody got saved. Something happened to somebody. Nowadays, so many people profess salvation and nothing happens to them. They just stay the same old person they've always been. And then people look at that and go, that's what salvation is. I don't want it. Wonder why it's so hard to get anybody to look at Christianity. Wonder why it's so hard for them to even open a Bible anymore these days. Because they see all the garbage that these professing salvations and go out there and live a life full of hell are out there leaving a trail of slime and disgusting pigness, and then wonder why people don't want salvation. Thank thank God he got a hold of my heart, and thank God that he saved me and that he's changed my life and is still changing my life, that I can go out there and be a light and a witness as he's called me in the Bible to be salt to this earth.
Amen.
Where's the flavor anymore to those Christians? How Christians, how many of you are going outside this building out there and helping somebody on the street? Tell me, how many of you getting out there? You're called to be salt, you're called to be light, but yet you're putting a cover over that thing and calling yourself a Christian and nobody can see nothing. You know what they're seeing is you. It's the reason why these church pews are empty these days. So many people are seeing us and not Jesus Christ. You know, when people got saved, guess what happened? Other people got saved because they seen something happen to that person. Please, don't profess Christianity anymore if you're not going to go out there and live. Not like I tell you. Not like that man there tells you. But like this Bible tells you to do. I don't tell anybody to change anything. But that Bible says it will happen to you. Something different is going to happen. Why? Because you have Jesus Christ, God, Almighty, all-powerful, living inside of you. Yet you're staying the same person, doing the same old things. Not one thing has changed. And you're telling me you have Jesus Christ inside of you? That just doesn't make sense to me when I'm reading the King James Bible. Anyway, that was just a little tidbit the Lord gave me sitting there where I heard about Sam Jones and how excited people got because somebody got saved. And guess what happened after he got saved? His life changed.
Amen.
People seen that. People today hear, somebody got saved. First thing they think is, another one. 6 months, 8 months, a year down the road, they look and go, yep, told you. That's a sad thing for Christianity. Wonder why Islam and every other thing, Buddhists and this world, and why every other religion in this world is growing and Christianity is decreasing. We've done it to ourselves. We've done it ourselves. There was a time out that I professed Christianity. There was a time I was telling my kid, my Sunday school class, they used to call me and the guy, my roommate who I was in prison with, they used to call me and him, Peter and Paul. All the Muslims used to go, oh, here come Peter and Paul, because they knew we were going to come at him with the King James Bible and we were going to preach to him. And I did all that lost. I did that, and you know what it was called? It's called jailhouse religion. I came outside, guess what? It didn't stick. You know what that means? I missed it. You know what that means? It was over with. I had to realize that, though. I had to realize that. You know what? I think more people need to stand up and let these so-called Christians who profess it, you missed it. You said you had it, but guess what? You just missed it. Plain and simple, go get that thing right with God. Stop dragging his name through the mud. Stop doing this to Christianity. Stop murdering everything. Listen, we're trying to blaze a trail for people to get saved. All we're doing is burning bridges so they can't cross over. That's all we're doing. Damaging that, pastor calls it inoculating them. That's what we're doing. And it's okay. Just sit back. Let it happen. Don't worry about it. Yeah. You're right. It's not even a big deal. We're going to go to Luke 2, by the way. I didn't have anything to preach. You know, Pastor, I was telling my wife this morning, I don't know how to handle it. I'm trying to handle it. I'm trying to learn how to handle it. I'm trying to learn how to deal with things. This has nothing really to do with anything that I just said. But I've noticed that since I've been called to preach, that I've been up, you know, preaching, and the Lord's called me out to a different life and such, that I notice a lot of heaviness on friendships. You know, friendships aren't the same with me anymore. I had friends in the church here, and we were really close. And now it just seems like there's some distance between me and my friends. I'm not sure how to handle it. But I just feel like, gosh, if I ever said something or do something to somebody that ever offended somebody, you would just come and talk to me. Maybe we can just get things right. Sometimes I talk to my wife, don't I, Ann? I said, gosh, I just feel like there's a heaviness between some friendships. And I guess I just don't understand it. And, I'm not going to choose a friendship over Jesus Christ. I'm going to choose what he gives me to preach. I'm going to say what he gives me, regardless of what kind of relationship I have with anybody. I just said downstairs, I'm not here to impress anybody. I don't live my life for anybody but Jesus Christ. I don't. I just don't. My wife and kids will tell you that. Hey, I'm a jerk, ain't I? I can be a jerk. Straight up. There's no, I'm not perfect. I have a lot of character flaws. I have a lot of things that I have to learn. But I'm just telling you right now, I kid you not, I live my life just like I am today at home. I do the same things here. I do the same things at home. This Christianity thing's to me just as real outside these doors as it is here. My wife will sit there and she'll tell you, when I meet somebody, I'll sit there and talk. They'll look at me and they'll say something, and I'll just start coming out and I'll start witnessing to them right there on the spot. It doesn't even matter to me because I don't give a rip about what these people think about me. I don't care if they say, oh, you're just some Christian. I don't care what you think about me. I care about what Jesus Christ. I care that maybe just one word, Jen, maybe one word could have saved that kid. 18 years old, and he committed suicide. Could you imagine if somebody could just step to him and just gave him that one word? Just maybe. Just maybe there's a chance that might have changed. Just maybe. We don't know that. Doesn't that play in your mind that just maybe we can get out there and save that one soul from hell just by one word, something you might say to somebody? Might save them from falling off into hell? Doesn't that bother you that we're not doing nothing? It bothers me. So if I think there's any kind of glimmer of hope, I'm saying something to somebody. Do I not? She knows I do. Look at Jesus done for me. Why would I not want to share what he's done for me with everybody else? Why would I not want them to have a piece of that? Hey, if you became really rich, wouldn't you want to share that money with your family and all that? Well, I became rich in Jesus, so I want to share that with everybody. That's what I want to do. I want to share that with everybody. Why? The title of my message is Jesus, the true gift. The true gift. The true gift. That's what Jesus is. He's the true gift. He was one that was given. I'm not going to jump. We're going to go to Luke 2. Just bear with me. I'm not doing the Christmas story thing here. But there's some stuff here. We're going to go to Luke 2 and start in verse 7. And I'm just going to skip around a little bit. And I'm going to show you here that Jesus is a true gift. The gift that people used to desire at one point, Doug. Now they don't desire that gift anymore. So I'm not going to get... I always get ahead of myself. I could really get ahead of myself pretty quickly. Luke 2:7 says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Chapter 2, 25-32. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon, and the same name was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him that by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then it took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel." I just want to give you a little tidbit that God gave me. If you go ahead and go back and read that when Jesus was born, right after that, the Holy Ghost stops the writing and lets you know that Jesus just got done fulfilling Leviticus 12.
Amen.
Stops right there, lets you know Leviticus 12, and then goes back into the story again. And that's something, even at birth, Jesus, of course, is fulfilling stuff right there.
That's right.
I mean, I just thought that was pretty, it's pretty good stuff, you know, how they went and did the customs by the Moses said. And we see here, they brought Jesus to this guy Simon, and what was he going to do? Customs of the law. Okay, so then guess what the guy says? Now I can die because I've seen the Savior. But let me get a hold of myself. Whether you're of Israel or a Gentile, God's greatest gift to mankind is Jesus Christ. That was the greatest gift God ever gave to us, was Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." This is one of the most well-known verses out there, I believe. Luke 2 is called the Christmas story. John 3:16, it was what was done on Christmas Day. God gave his Son as a gift for us. John 3:16 is a well-known, well-quoted Bible verse that people have forgotten the meaning. They do not break that verse down and understand the truth that is in John 3:16. Sit there and meditate on that and just think about what it's telling you. And it comes at you in a whole different light. I mean, could you imagine Amy or even Debbie or Jen having to give your child for this world. That's what God done. He gave that child. He gave Jesus Christ. He said, here. This is so they could be saved. Could you imagine having to have one of those two dying on a cross for the people in this world? Now, if you don't think Jesus knew the future, you're wrong. You're crazy. He knew the future. He knew the future. He could see what earth was going to become, what it was going to be like in the year of 2014, and still went on that road. Imagine doing that to your own, having to come down and die for these type of people. The greatest gift. John 3:16 is what God had done on Christmas Day, and yet those same ones that He died for, it has no meaning to them whatsoever. Christmas is the day that Jesus, the Savior of the world, was born to save the world, but what He has done has become a distant memory in the minds of those that were in Jesus' heart when He went on that cross. That day when Jesus Christ was born, He came down. Jesus Christ was born, and that He went to that cross, we were all on His heart. And now, you know what? We can't even put Him in our mind. We can't remember Him for one single day. People go ahead and they took Christmas and they turned it into something totally different. Christmas, when I was a kid, was a fun and exciting time, but I still knew, even as that child. Listen, I'm telling you, I never stepped foot in a church. My mother never brought us to church, and I have nothing against my mother for that. Okay? That's just how things went. Love my mother. But she never brought us into church, but I still remember that Jesus Christ was mentioned all the time, all over the place.
Amen.
At that time when I was a kid. I used to hear all the time when I was a kid that Jesus was the real reason for this season and all that stuff. I grew up just remember hearing people say that all the time. Where do you hear that today? Very little. The songs pastor talks about, they're still played, thank God for that. But where else are you hearing it? It's not about what the gift that God gave us. It's about how much we give others. How many presents we can go out and buy for our kids. What else can we do for each other? And I'm not talking about each other. I'm not talking about me coming up and just giving you stuff. I'm talking about mostly it's staying in the family. Nobody wants to go out there and give the gift of Jesus Christ to somebody else. And I'm not talking about me. Here's Jesus. Go ahead and take it. But I tell you what, I can take this King James Bible and what He's done in my life, and I can bring that gift to them and I can share that with them. But how many of us are doing that anymore on Christmas? How many of us really have the Christmas spirit in us? When we really have others besides our own families on our mind or on our hearts? How many? How many of you out there? How many of you have the Christmas spirit, the Christmas joy, the happiness? How many of us really remember what Christmas is about? Yeah, it's fun having the kids open their gifts, spending time with the family. That is an absolute blast. But why not? Why not go out there and share the gift that we supposedly as Christians profess? Why not go out there and share that gift with somebody else? Why not go out there and tell them? Why not go out there and love them and invite them somewhere? Why not go out there and share that gift that Jesus Christ, that God, you know what? He just freely gave it to you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Gave. If anybody in this room thinks for one second you ever earned anything from God, you have sadly mistaken and you don't know the right God. You can never by any merit, Chris, never by any merit, anything that you could ever do, ever earn any merit with God. I'll tell you that much right now. He looks at our righteousness as filthy rags. You know, you think God's up there, he looks down at me and goes, gosh, that Dale's just so good. Oh, yeah, he messes up. But boy, no, not at all. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, he wouldn't even... Listen, let me tell you something. He was so disgusted with me. I don't know why he had mercy on me for all these years. Why he was so long-suffering and kept me alive. We saw a guy on TV the other day. He was a meth head. I remember the guy? I said, that was me. That was me, Amy. And she just looked. She goes, I can't believe it. I said, the stuff you guys know in this church about me hasn't even scratched the surface. Listen, you really wouldn't want to know about me. You really wouldn't want to know everything about me. Trust me, you just wouldn't. But I said, that was me, Amy. That's me, right? That was me. At 118 pounds. Addicted to crystal meth, had big, huge sores all over me. Disgusting pus running out of the sores. That kept me alive. Could have killed me. Could have just let me die. Could just let me fall off the end of the earth and let me die. He had something for me.
Amen.
It just took him all these years for me to see it. I wish to God 25 years ago I would have saw it. Oh, how great that would have been to have seen it that long ago. To see the gift that God has given Dale Morey. Do you realize that people sitting in this church today have forgotten the gift that God has given you? Do you realize that in the next 30 seconds you can just drop dead in that pew? And you know what? For you who don't have the gift, that's a scary place to be. But you know what? It doesn't matter because there's no fear of God anymore. Nobody. Are you real? Who walks around really afraid of God? Tell me. There's some of us who do. There's some of us who have reverence. But there's some of us who really have an honest fear for God. The one who can not only destroy our body, but destroy our body and soul and cast it in hell. How much fear is that in anybody in this room? The way we live our lives, I tell you what, there ain't much fear of that anymore. Playing Russian roulette. I feel so bad about that kid that Jen had texted me about. Prayed for his family. Been praying for his family. You go, gosh, I would never do that. You're doing that right now. For those of you who are not saved, you're doing the same thing that kid did. You're playing with your life. Right. One day God's going to pull that trigger and it's going to be over with. There ain't no undoing it. There ain't no undoing it. It's over with. Wherever you are with God at that point in time, when you take your last breath, that is it. And yet you tell me you won't do the same thing that that kid did, and you are every day. Well, there's no fear of God anymore. That gift. Christmas is the day that the Savior was born. He has become a distant memory in the minds of those whose Jesus, you know, we were in his heart when he died. And we can't even think of him, not even one day, let alone any day. God gave us his son, the free gift, a gift that were never earned or merited, but most certainly is rejected. That gift, he just had here. Pastor used to tell me this all the time. I just couldn't get the concept of just receiving that free gift. That's what it is, a free gift. There's nothing I can do to ever earn that. It's Jesus Christ, he done it, he paid for it all, and he's just saying, here. Now, it took a long time for God to get that right in my heart, how I could just accept that gift. And that's it, but that's how all America is. That's how people who are without Jesus Christ are. They just want to accept that gift. They think they have to do something else to get that, and he's saying, no. But you know what? Most of all, they reject it. Reject it. They reject what Jesus Christ has done. They reject the gift that God has given us. I tell you, put something in front of the world in front of them, though, they won't reject it. Go ahead and put some money in their hand or this or that. They ain't rejecting that. They're quick to be on that. I got myself all... Okay, here we go. Proverbs 17:8 says, "The gift is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Who, whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth." Jesus, the gift of God, also called a stone. Jesus Christ is that precious stone. He is that gift that God has given us. And it says, you know what? Whoever has that gift is going to prosper. And I'm just telling you now, the Lord has prospered me. No, I'm not financially, I'm not a millionaire, and I'm not rich, but he's prospered me with a family. He's prospered me with salvation. He's given me things that I never, ever thought possible in my entire life. Because I took that gift, I took that precious stone, which is called Jesus Christ, and I made him my foundation. I made him the foundation of my home. I made him the foundation of my heart. I made him the foundation of my life, and he's given me things that I just never thought possible in my entire life. Because it says in Proverbs 17:8, a gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Jesus Christ is precious to me. I don't know what he means to you, but he's precious to me. And that's why I always strive to do the best that I can. Though I make mistakes in this human flesh, though I make mistakes because I'm just a knucklehead, but you know what? I love my wife. I love my kids. They're precious to me, so I want to do right by them. Why wouldn't I not want to do that to Jesus? Mm-hmm. He is that precious gift. He's that precious gift that was given for me up on that cross. Listen, when you love somebody, you want to do the right thing, right? You want to do what's good for them. When you love somebody, you want to make them happy and do the right thing and treat them right. Then you know what? Don't sit here and tell me you love Jesus Christ and you can't even treat him right. You can't love him. He's not precious in your eyes. You will not allow him to do what he wants you to do in your life. You fight him tooth and nail, do nothing with him, but yet you love Jesus Christ. You're a Christian, and you make yourself look like a knucklehead. You put a big target on your back and go, that's what everybody looks and goes, that's what Christianity is. Why would I want that? A gift is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. Acts 4:10 says, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. We see that Jesus makes people whole. He stood there about in the name of Jesus Christ. This man, whoever this man was, stood there and he was made whole. Then we go on to read in 4:11. This is the stone. They're talking about Jesus Christ here. We already know he's called the stone. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. He's become that head cornerstone. Those that had rejected him, guess what? Become that chief cornerstone. He's become the only way you have into heaven. And the people continue to reject it. Do you know that whoever that person was, I forgot the name, or who this person was they're talking about in Acts here, he stood before that hole. That means something changed about this guy.
Right.
Something was different about this guy. He had that stone. That stone, why? Because he didn't go ahead and he didn't build his house on that sand. He didn't put everything. So many people are taking everything of who they are, physically and mentally. And they're taking all their money and they're taking everything and they're bringing it over to this thing that's called sand. And they're building everything that they have and they're putting all their faith and trust in this sand. The firm foundation, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the building block, the foundation that will never crumble is over here going, you're putting it in the wrong place. And yet, they don't want to. And then when everything falls apart and the storms comes and it all gets washed away, they wonder, help, I need help. Oh, okay, here. You know, listen, this is what the Bible says. This is how you get help. Go ahead and take all your stuff off the sand and bring it over here and build it on this firm foundation over here. Oh no, but that takes too much time. I want to go this way. No, you're missing it. You're missing it. The foundation's over here. They don't want nothing to do with what you're telling them. They want an instant. Jesus Christ is not a microwave savior. He's not going to just come in, save you, and then everything's going to change all at once. It doesn't happen that way. He's going to save you, and then he's going to start with little things. He's going to start where he knows it's going to be best for you. The very first thing after salvation, I knew that I started realizing when I was angry. Do you think I realized I was angry last night pretty quick? Don't you? Do you think I was able to stop that pretty quickly? Never would have happened in my life if I wasn't saved. I'm just telling you that right now. Trust me. When I say I just scratched the surface of the things you don't know my anger. You don't know what I used to be. Tanya, I'd make her look like a little baby in diapers. Trust me when I tell you with my anger. Trust me. Whether I lost a fight, won a fight, got hurt, didn't get hurt, it did not matter. I was never afraid of anybody. Once my anger was gone, that was it. It was over with. It did not matter. Consequences didn't matter. Nothing mattered to me. Nothing. That's why I ended up so many times in jail, because I couldn't get a grip on my anger. I couldn't stop myself before I reacted. My mom's calling me. I could not stop myself before I reacted. I would always react and then afterwards think, oh my gosh, what did I do? But after I got saved, guess what happened? I started realizing when I was angry. And you know what? When I started realizing when I was angry, I could stop things. Things didn't... Hey, I've been with you 12 years. Have I been in jail since I met you? No, I have not. Because Jesus Christ gave me a gift. One of those gifts are, besides himself, besides salvation, was him. Teaching me how to grab a hold of my anger. Teaching me how to realize things for the first time in my life. That men tried with medications. It took Jesus Christ one time. Bam. It was over. How's that? Amen. That's something? This guy here in Acts 4:10, I believe.
It says, whom you crucified, the God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This man stands before you whole because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I guarantee you that. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm not a finished work, but I stand here whole. I stand here changed because I took that precious gift and I took it. I'm running away with it. I'm not done. I'm almost done. I know you're all sleeping and stuff. It's hard to stay awake. I understand. I'm almost done. He's the gift, man. I want to share my, you know, I want to share what Jesus Christ gave me as a gift. Well, I want to share that with you. I want to give you a gift, Timmy. His name is Jesus Christ. That's the gift I want to give. I want you to know about him. That's a mission that the Lord has put on my heart. Just share it with him. Be friends with him. Love him. I mean, since I've become a Christian 3 years ago, my world has been turned upside down. Literally. Most of it, I'm still just trying to learn how to handle it because I have no, for 40 years, I lived whatever way I wanted to live. And now I have somebody inside of me telling me that I can't live that way anymore. Mm-hmm. And I have to be submissive to that. Okay, I'm sorry it was so easy for all you guys in here, but it ain't for me. I'm just saying. My world has been flipped upside down, but I'm just going to tell you this. It's something that I would love to give everybody. If I could give it to you, if I can give it to you, if I can give it to you, I'd give it to you. But I can't, but Jesus Christ can. But I'm just going to tell you now, it takes time. You got to give him time. Because for all the years that you lived your way, all the years that you lived that dirt, he's going to go in there and he's going to start at the bottom. He's going to work his way out. Mm-hmm. Guess where he's going to start? In your heart. He's going to start in your heart. You're going to start noticing things changing. Start noticing the way you think, the way you talk. All that stuff is just going to slowly come out. He has to start. He's that firm. He's that foundation. He has to become that firm foundation in your life. I told Sunday school kids, I said, there's people that sit in this church every week, week after week. They hear the word of God and they're still sitting there. They're not saved. You know why? They're not diligent because being saved is not their number one priority in their life.
Right.
That's what it took for me to get saved. That's what it took for her to get saved. You ask. We sat down. And I'm not bragging. I sat down in this Bible. Oh, I mean, I begged God, cried, boogered over it, snotted. I mean, you name it. For 4 years I did that. For 4 years. And it took one moment for God to say, now you're ready. Because of my hard-headedness, because of my cold heart. And you know what? It just took. That's all it took was once and I was saved. It's over. Because you know what? Being saved was the number one priority in my life.
Amen.
I was not having it any other way. You ask him the stuff I went through for 4 years. Crying and whining and all. But you know what? I would still stay in that Bible. Know that I want it. I'm going to serve. What's he say? He's a diligent. He's a rewarder of those who are diligent.
Amen.
Not half-hearted. Romans 5:15 says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For though the offense of one, many be dead, talking about Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto many. And not as it is by one that sin, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they will receive the abundance of the grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the offense one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one free gift came upon all men unto justification. Paul was making a point in these four verses on the gift that God has given us through Jesus Christ. How many times was that word gift mentioned in those few verses? Because he's trying to show you that Adam, sin, all condemned to hell. Jesus Christ came down a free gift. He came down as a free gift given to us to take that away. The free gift. The true gift. And I'm going to finish up here in about 5 minutes. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I'd say that's Jesus Christ. He's not a good gift. He's not a perfect gift. He's not from above. I'd say that describes Jesus Christ there. and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Jesus is the good and perfect gift. He is of heaven and not of this world. Many are caught up in giving gifts of this world on Christmas. Jesus is the gift from above that was born on Christmas, yet that gift has no meaning in this world any longer. People do not desire the gift from heaven, but they desire the gifts of this world. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." There is a payment for sin. There is a payment for sin. It is called death. That's why it says there's the wage. The wages of sin. That means a payment. You're gonna pay for your sins.
Yeah.
You're gonna pay for your sins. But, love that word, but, the gift of God. It's a gift. Happened on Christmas. That gift that nobody thinks about anymore. That free gift that He has given down. The one He's for all mankind. John 3:16 said, "For God so loved the world." Everybody, there's not anybody who He won't give that to. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God is free. Jesus was given. He made the payment so we did not have to. And I'm closing with this. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let us not be as the world. Let us remember the true gift of this season, Jesus Christ. Let the light of Jesus Christ so shine through us. And let us be filled with thankfulness for this true Christmas gift, Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And I'm done.